We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Thursday. Getting a jump on the holiday weekend. There's going to be a lot of people in and out of town today. I guess they say it's going to be one of the busiest travel days, if not the busiest travel day of the year when it comes to the highways. So just keep that in mind when you're heading home tonight.
There are people that probably got on the highway last night coming to wherever they're going. I know I got some friends that are going to Florida. They're getting ready to head to Florida. Some friends that are going to California. Everybody's taking their little vacation. So safe travels and have fun. And like your parents used to say, don't come home with nothing. Whatever, you could take that for whatever, however you want to take that. But I remember, like, Dad used to tell Dad and Mom, say, hey, don't come home with nothing.
I wonder what the weather's going to be down at the beach this weekend, because I don't think it's going to be great around here.
I don't know. I don't fool around on the water. So that is not an issue that I'm going to have. I would go to the beach and watch everybody else swim, but to actually get in the water, no, that's not my twist. Not going to do that.
Well, we're not going to have any major sporting events around here this weekend in terms of the pro sports teams, because Atlanta United has the weekend off. They don't play till next Wednesday night. And then, of course, the Braves are on the road in Boston, and they open that series at Fenway Park tomorrow against the blistering hot Red Sox, who are off to just a phenomenal start this season. But more on that in a moment. First, this road trip, which started in Philadelphia, battle for first place. Here we are on a Thursday morning. The Braves sit on an off day after three games in Philadelphia, where they managed to scratch out a win, which, if you start to look at the numbers of what the Philadelphia pitchers were able to do, that you managed to scratch out a win, it's probably okay, because yesterday the Braves bats got totally silenced by one of the better pitchers in the game, in Jake Arrieta, and the Philadelphia Phillies took the Braves down.
Into left field. It's going to be playable for Hoskins. And that's the ball game. So for the second time in three games here in Philadelphia, the Braves are shut out by Philadelphia Phillies pitching. Give the win to Jake Arrieta, and the Phillies take the series.
It was Eric Collins on Fox Sports South. And Chip wasn't there last night. I was like, I was listening to him going, that's not Chip. And was there a reason that Chip was not? Bo, did you know why Chip wasn't on the broadcast last night?
His twins graduated, I believe, from high school.
Oh, yeah, you got to go to that.
His twin sons. He tweeted about it.
Yeah, you got to go to that.
Yeah, you got to go to that. Yeah. Well, he didn't miss a whole lot, sadly. The Braves struck out 9 times in the game. In the series, they were really, really scuffling. But Brian Snicker says it wasn't so much bad hitting as it was just great pitching.
We had two really strong starts, probably as good a starts as we've had against us all year. Say had some opportunities, but we're hit away from getting back in that game, and you never know what might happen.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough to say you were hit away from that. But 1 out of 3 in Philadelphia, where the Braves scored, Hugh, in 3 games, only scored 4 runs and struck out 32 times. That's one you want to kind of just, let's move along. And
yeah, but the Braves only been blanked a couple times this season. I don't know the exact number, but it hasn't happened that many times this season where they've went over as far as runs scored. So it's one of those things. You ran up on some hot pitching, like the manager said, Brian Snicker. And you really don't want to push the panic button. I'll tell you one thing I took from that game last night. Ronald Acuna ran one play down, and then he rifled it was that in the 7th inning?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that cat is fast. That's a fast dude. And I look at some of the young players and their contributions, and you think that they can build off of that. They can build off some good young talent, some good fast young talent.
I mean, Grant and I were talking about Acuna and how it's interesting that they're starting to get a little bit of a book on him, and now it's going to be so the pitching is adjusted to Ronald Acuna. Now it's up to Ronald Acuna Jr. to start to adjust to how they're going to be pitching him, and that's that little cat and mouse game that kind of goes on, especially early in somebody's career. So it's off to Boston tomorrow for games Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Fenway Park. The Braves will go in first place in the NL East at 29-19. The Boston Red Sox first place in the AL East and best record in baseball, 34-15. It'll be Teheran and Rodriguez, Eduardo Rodriguez, tomorrow night. And that great lineup of the Boston Red Sox. You know, Mookie Betts has had an MVP start to this season. He has 16 home runs. J.D. Martinez has 15. That Red Sox team, they are loaded.
Yeah, good squad. But like I said, this only happened twice against the Phillies in this series where they went over, and against the Marlins. So, well, I mean, you're talking about what they were last year. I mean, you know, hey, sometimes it's like that.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I just happened to notice this morning, just a little kind of a side note to baseball and to the Boston Red Sox, because it has a little tag. The Red Sox, as you may know, are embroiled in a tremendous race, and it looks like already the Red Sox and Yankees all the way to the wire. The Home Run Derby, baseball, if you ask Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and Aaron Judge, the star home run hitters, about the Home Run Derby at the All-Star Game July 16 in D.C., and Betts didn't say no. He said, hell no. Martinez said, nope. Aaron Judge said, nope. So here we go again. The problems the NBA has had with the All-Star, with the slam dunk, they may be revisiting this with the Home Run Derby again, where we don't have our stars, our hot hitters in there.
Ronald Acuña has Ozzy Albies has, 14 home runs this year? I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the Home Run Derby. What is that, 12 on the road? Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the Home Run Derby. I mean, you know, the guys that were in it last year, that's fine. I would like to see some of these young up-and-comers get in the Home Run Derby, and I could enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I understand that some of these guys, they get really afraid. They call it the Bobby Abreu. Bobby Abreu had a tremendous first half, goes to the Home Run Derby, lights it up at the Home Run Derby, and then comes out and really scuffles in the second half. And Abreu had said that the Home Run Derby, you screwed up a swing.
Aaron Judge had a little bit of that last year. After he was in the Derby, he was in a little bit of a slump hitting home runs, because I guess it's just the timing is off, throwing all those, getting those meatballs thrown to you and just getting back on your grind. But I wouldn't mind. If those guys want to do it, that's fine. I think it's some young up-and-comers that could have people interested in seeing the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game.
It is the Morning Sports News on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Some of the big headlines today. Well, we're in the books. This offseason for the NFL has been very, very busy. We've had a team sold, the Carolina Panthers. We've determined future Super Bowls. We know that the draft's going to be in Nashville next year. Look at all the changes. The changes to the helmet rule, the changes to the kickoff rule. We have had the gambling issue that came up, and now, of course, of all of these, the one that has grabbed the biggest headlines happened yesterday when the owners voted 31-0 with one abstention to implement new rules involving the policy regarding the national anthem. Here is the commissioner, Roger Goodell, on the new policy.
Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We've been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
Well, again, he said unanimous, but define unanimous.
I'll tell you what happened. I'm interpreting all of this. I feel like he was pressured into making a decision, and he had to go out there and say something. And when he said unanimous, because if you listen to that, what he just said, John, he didn't say anything about choice of whether or not you can go out. That, I don't think that came till later. I don't think the actual word choice came till later, like stay in the locker room or go, stand for the anthem. I think all of this happened after the fact. I think he had to go out there and say something. And when he left the room, everybody was like, I guess he was like, we got to all be in unison with this. And he went with that. And then that's why you had some owners immediately come out and say, nah, that's not what it is. And now you're starting to hear that only 22 owners voted and 22 were with and the rest of them were against. So it's really hard to say what exactly went on in that room. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall to listen to see how that really went down.
Yeah, we'll hear more from Roger Goodell, and we'll hear from Jed York, the one owner who did abstain, and what the players had to say about all of this, the NFLPA. We'll do that in about 15 minutes when we get back into depth in this issue about that. Some of the morning sports news also include the NBA playoffs. Well, Big headlines this morning across the landscape about LeBron James and whether or not he's tired, whether or not he's exhausted, whether or not he's about to give up. Because last night in Boston, the Celtics remained perfect at home in the NBA playoffs.
Shot clock winding down, kick out. How fitting would this be if Tatum can finish with a splash? And he does.
And Jason Tatum, 24 points, part of a 13-point win for the Boston Celtics, who stay perfect 10-0 at home in the postseason. Tatum at 24, and this Celtics team now one win away from the NBA Finals.
I mean, I just enjoy, you know, playing in the big moments, in the big games. I think that's when I have the most fun, when, you know, when things are on the line, and, you know, a lot of guys stepped up tonight. I mean, I can't say it enough, with one win away from going to the Finals.
As for LeBron, and again, those headlines out there, CBS, LeBron out of steam, question mark. Big lead, LeBron James exhaustion. One right, James looks tired at times. In Wednesday loss, LeBron says, you know, hey, listen, we got to go out and go home and try and get this game at home, because right now we are one and done.
I look forward to seeing us respond, and I know how well we've played at home, you know, in this postseason, you know, and that's the only thing I can worry about right now. You know, I'm not worried about a game seven. You have to worry about game six, and, you know, you can't, you know, put yourself in that moment until you take care of the present.
You know, he puts a lot of wear and tear on himself, and I got to tell you, when you go to the NBA Finals, what, 6 years in a row, the number of playoff games that LeBron James has played is probably over the last six, now 7 years, Hugh, has probably been equivalent to nearly a season and a half, if not two full seasons of an NBA's regular season.
He's played more basketball than anybody, but, I mean, nobody feels sorry for LeBron James. I know that's the storyline today, but he got to figure out how to get it done, because the storyline is not going to be, oh, LeBron James went into the Finals. He's tired. He been in all these finals all these years. Give him a pass. No, they're going to talk about how he came up short. How he came up short. And that's what it is going to be. As wrong as it is, that's what people are going to remember about him. They're not going to talk about how his teammates, Tristan Thompson, only had one bucket, or J.R. Smith only had 2 points. They're not talking about that. They're going to talk about how he came up short. And he carried him all the way here, and he came up short. I mean, when you wear, hey, heavy is the head that wears the crown. So he's the king. He's the king, and nobody's want to hear about you being tired, King. You know, you got to get it done. So he has to get it done.
Well, you know, did Saturday Night Live give? I mean, in a roundabout way, when they were kind of digging at the other Cavaliers, you know, give him a little bit of I don't know, support in the fact that, you know.
No, I mean, it is what it is, John. You look at the box score. I'm looking at the box score right now. Only two players. On the Cavaliers were in double figures. Kevin Love and LeBron James. That's it. Well, nobody came, like, shoot, you came close to cracking 10, but nobody got over 10 points. That's tough. That's tough, especially when you're doing everything. You know, you're doing everything. That's a tough spot to be in.
Well, I wonder what Kyrie Irving's saying about all this. It's probably killing him not to be able to play in this series, I would think, right? I mean, that's why Kyrie went to Boston, was to, you know, try and get back at this, but Boston's doing this without Kyrie, and so let's keep that in mind, too. So I give all the credit to the Boston Celtics and, you know, their ability with this young team to get this far.
Who would you rather see in the finals, Boston and Houston, or Boston and Golden State? What do you think would be more competitive?
Well, Boston-Houston.
I would agree with that. I think that would be more exciting. You look like Golden State might be, you know, they ran into a little bit of bust. Houston ain't going nowhere no time soon.
Yeah, and game five of that series is tonight. It was a big win for Houston the other night at Oracle, and that game five is in Houston tonight, best 2 out of 3.
Ooh, boy, it's going to be rocking in Houston tonight, boy. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be nice.
It's going to be rocking at your place if you win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
bubble. Bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E, bubble.
I can think of a way I can use that word in a sentence, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Keep it to myself.
You have to late 59 to text the word bubble, B-U-B-B-L-E, B-U-B-B-L-E, to 72881.
Bubble.
Bubble. To 72881, message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive, and hopefully you'll win $1,000, which would buy a lot of bubbles. Lot of bubbles. Bubble to 72881. Some of the morning sports news with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, I think Boston-Houston would at least be potentially a six-game series. I still favor Houston. But you know what? Boston's so tough at home. You know, maybe that would be the best possible matchup If LeBron James is tired and he's exhausted,
he's tired.
And you know,
tired, he, boss.
Carrying these guys, you know, as he has all season, you know, if he doesn't have any steam left, if they manage to win game 6 and 7, is he going to have anything left in the tank to play Golden State?
If he, it's going to be a Herculean effort. Like, because last night he was trying to, those shots that were falling from a couple nights before when he was shooting off balance and everything, they weren't there. They did not have any life in those shots. So he's going to have to go home and figure out how to get right. He has a day off, probably going to go sleep in his hyperbaric chamber if he has one, go to his holistic healer and get ready for this game.
I look at this and wonder if the NBA Finals. We said this at the beginning of the playoffs. I said, look, if it gets to be Golden State in Houston, which it, you know, from the start, from the jump, looked like it was going to be, especially with the pending return of Steph Curry. That this is one of those years where you can make an argument that the Western Conference Finals are the true NBA Finals. That Golden State and Houston are 1 and 2. And that goes to this whole thing about reseeding when you get to the conference final, things that some people are talking about in the NBA, Hugh. You get to the conference finals, would you reseed? Because if you did a reseed, you would probably have something like, you know, Golden State against Boston right now and Houston against Cleveland.
I don't know. I'm not about to sell Boston short. I'm not about to do that. I'm going to give Boston their props because they've had some young gunners step up and play extremely well. Especially in this last series with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I'm not about to sit here and say it'll be a rout, whomever they play, Houston or Golden State. I think that Al Horford has stepped his game up, and he's played extremely well. I think he's been a huge factor for Boston, as well as those younger players. So I'm not going to sit here and say that it'll be just a blowout, whoever comes out of the East.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens again. Game 5 tonight between Golden State and Houston. In Houston, CP3 and the Beard against KD and Steph, and we'll see what happens in the NBA's Western Conference Finals this evening. All right, we roll along on a very busy Thursday leading up to the holiday weekend. And, of course, the big news of town, what happened yesterday here in Atlanta and Buckhead, and the NFL's new anthem policy. We'll hear more from Roger Goodell. We'll hear from Jed York, the owner who abstained, and from the players as well.
Why, Daryl? Oh.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know what I thought this was? I thought it was a Tommy Dog. I hate when this song comes on for a number of reasons. Yeah, at first I thought it was a Tommy Dog, but yeah, Tupac. Gotcha.
Certainly the spring meetings, when we were thinking about the spring meetings here in Atlanta with the NFL owners in town, we thought, they're going to come in, vote on the new kickoff rule, vote on the new helmet rule, and they came in and made a lot more news than that.
Ha-ha!
Yikey. And, of course, the biggest of the big news was the new anthem policy. We're going to get into it in just a moment. A couple things first, again. The new policy that the NFL has implemented says you know, if you come out for the anthem, it's up to the players whether they come out or not individually. If you want to stay in the locker room for the anthem, you can stay in the locker room. If you want to come out for the anthem, but if you do come out for the anthem, you have to stand. You must, not should, must stand. If you don't, then the team is going to be fined by the league, and then it's up to the team whether they're going to pass, and it's an undisclosed amount of money, how much they're going to fine. I don't know what it would be, you, but they're going to, whether the team's going to fine you and charge you back.
Yeah, they're going to leave it up to the team to discipline you the way that they see fit. And this alone is probably going to be a deterrent to a lot of people who, you know, some guys that were protesting or some guys who were kneeling and some guys who were on the fence about kneeling and standing up for what they believe in. So this is going to be one of those things where it's going to divide. It's going to divide a locker room. And I think the NFL – tried to do the best that they could to cover themselves in this situation. But it's just a bad look. It's a real bad look.
All right, let's go to some of the reaction to this. And again, this new policy from the NFL that's being implemented effective immediately. Here's the commissioner, Roger Goodell, talking about the new anthem policy.
If anyone is on the field and is disrespectful to the anthem or the flag, there would be a fine from the league against the team. The team will have its own work rules, will be consistent with the overall policy, and they will make their own decisions about how to manage that from there on the club level.
All right, so that's that one. And, you know, and again, that's going to be the penalty if it's involved here.
Just picking apart what the commissioner said, which I find very, very interesting, I think it's something that we kind of missed a little bit. He said things that are disrespectful to the flag. So now it has been deemed that kneeling is disrespectful to the flag. Because that's basically what he said. It's disrespectful. So you can't kneel. Or put your hand in the air. Because I think Art Rooney came out and said that he thinks that putting your fist in the air, the fist in the air is disrespectful as well to the flag.
Well, yeah, I think it's a stand at a, and I think you stand at a, you know, kind of attention, and whether it's kneeling or sitting or putting your fist in the air. Here's Arthur Blank's reaction. The owner, Arthur Blank, said, "The reason I feel strongly about standing for the anthem on this club," talking about the Falcons, "and I would feel very disappointed if a player were to protest during the anthem, is we are working together on a lot of stuff to address the issues. The issues haven't been resolved, but the goal has been achieved, and that's to work together to find solutions, but it will take time." That's Arthur Blank to the AJC.
Yeah, and some players are coming out and having some things to say. Defensive end Chris Long for the Philadelphia Eagles said, "This is a fear of a diminished bottom line. It's also a fear of a president turning his base against a corporation. This is not patriotism. Don't get it confused. These owners don't love America more than the players demonstrating or taking real action to improve it. It also lets you, the fan, know where our league stands. I will continue to be committed to effecting change with my platform. I'm someone who always looked at the anthem as a declaration of ideals, including the right to peaceful protest. Our league continues to fall short on this issue."
A couple more sound bites. Tyrod Taylor of the Cleveland Browns, just a moment. First, Jed York of the 49ers, owner of the 49ers, York family. The commissioner had come out during his news coverage yesterday and said, "Well, you know, this new policy, it's passed, it's unanimous." Turns out, wasn't unanimous. 31 owners voted in favor of it, and one abstained. And the one who abstained from the vote was Jed York of the Niners, and this is what he had to say.
"We want to make sure that we have an all-encompassing sort of solution to how we look at this and not point the finger at one group or another, and really come together and have a great conversation with our players and figure out how do we do the right things for social justice reform, and do it in a way that, you know, we want to still bring attention to it, but do it in a way that it can be as sort of dignified in our entire encompassing approach."
Well, they had this news coverage yesterday, which caught a lot of us by surprise. I mean, they apparently had been talking to you for 2 or 3 hours. I wasn't anticipating they were going to come out with anything.
No, this had to go away quickly. This just feels like this was such a divisive thing in that conversation that the owners had, that they had to come out and do something today. And I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, but they had to come out and do something today.
And Jim Trotter, who's one of the great reporters, I've known Jim a long time and I have tremendous respect for him, said this morning on Twitter, Hugh. He said, "The anthem vote is particularly interesting in that 8 to 10 owners before the meetings privately expressed support to me for keeping the policy as it is. 8 to 10 owners. Some told me they believed the protests were fading and the focus should be on the positive community work being done by the players in the league." And I think there's an argument to be made for that. I don't know if the owners didn't just kick a hornet's nest, because I think there may be.
More than likely.
Yeah.
Because you're telling people what they can't do. And, you know, normally when you tell folks what they can't do, they normally do the opposite. I mean, that's just human nature. But this is, you know, from my opinion, it's about the bottom line and how this is going to affect the upcoming NFL year. And how and another thing, people are going to be looking at the players to see how they're going to handle this. This is definitely, I mean, the players on the clock. And for Chris Long to come out and say what he said yesterday, I'm pretty sure a lot of other players echo the same sentiment. You know, you heard what Malcolm Jenkins had to say. I wonder how they're going to handle this. I really do. And if they're going to still peacefully protest, or are they going to just not go out at all for the anthem? And if that happens, John, I wonder how that's going to be perceived. You know, because there might be a group of individuals that feel that if you don't go out for the anthem, that's just as disrespectful as kneeling. So then what do we do with that? What if for all of a sudden, say, as a unified front, a team all of a sudden decides not to go out for the anthem, and one team does? How is that going to be perceived by the fan base? And then what do we do if that happens. I mean, this is kind of where we are now. I mean, this is where we are.
Well, the NFLPA was none too happy. They issued an immediate statement basically saying, hey, you never ask us about how we feel about this. We had no say in any of this. And they weren't too happy about that. Tyrod Taylor, who is the now quarterback of the Cleveland Browns alongside Baker Mayfield, was speaking for himself when he said this.
To make a decision that strong, you would hope that the players have input on it, but obviously not. That's what we have to deal with as players, for good or bad things. But at the end of the day, they call the shots and make the rules. So that's what we have to abide by. And I think the main thing out of all of it is that each ball club is having open communication with the players and the ownership about the issues that are going on in the community and trying to change it.
All right, so keep this in mind. This is the way the media works, and we all understand this, that during the preseason, from the Hall of Fame game all the way to the end of the preseason, you know, local media mostly is going to be kind of, you know, counting heads on the sidelines. Who's not out there, you know? Boom, boom, boom. How many guys we got? You know, who's not out there? You know, but I'm not really so much worried about, not worried is not the right word. I'm not so much interested in the preseason. It's going to be the regular season. And who's first up in the regular season but the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah. It is, and with some of these players on the Philadelphia Eagles that feel strongly about this, I wonder how that's going to be handled.
Yeah, because they said they're not going to the White House.
Yeah, a few players said that. A few players said they're not going, and now with this issue looming, it's going to be interesting to see how this season starts and how quickly this escalates, because that's what we're looking at now. And the point I just made about what if teammates decide not to go out for the anthem? How is that going to be perceived by the fan base? That's huge. And again, like I said, some people will look at that as being disrespectful. And how do you handle that when fans consider you not coming out for the anthem a sign of protest?
Well, and that's to my point about the fact that what Jim Trotter said, which is that, you know, the some of the owners believe the issue was fading. Given the issue, it would just seem to me today, sitting here on May 24th, if the owners hadn't done anything about the anthem here, if they just kind of let it lie, we would have gone to the Philadelphia-Atlanta game. I'm not sure. I mean, there may have been a little bit about, hey, what's going to happen with the anthem kind of thing. Now, I think I got to tell you, when we get to the Philadelphia-Atlanta game, there's going to be a lot. Hey, what's going to happen with the anthem?
You never know. You never know. I think that we're far enough out. We're out far enough now that it might not be an issue. We might just be, you know, speculating. Not where we're all speculating, but you just never know. I don't think it probably be an issue.
And we will wind our way into that area of the show now, known as Hughes World.
Yes, while I travel down that road called Nerddom and tell you what I've been doing for the last couple of days, you know, outside of watching sports and stuff. All that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay. Let's do it.
We are giving away $250,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Y'all in the control room, pay attention. Tonight is the night. It goes down tonight at the Cigar Bar in Roswell. 4990 Roswell Road. I blew everybody's mind in the control room because I told them to listen up. But tonight is night. You know, last night I saw some of the pictures of the place.
Right.
It's a really, really nice cigar place. And it's a sports bar. So I don't have to get dressed up. So join me in 92.9 The Game, Hugh Douglas and Camel Cognac tonight from 7 to 9 at the New Cigar City Sports Bar at 4990 Roswell Road. It is going down. I saw the pictures. It's a really nice place. It's swanky. It's wooded out. And it has leather bar stools and leather seats and big old TVs.
You got to look somewhat nice then.
No.
Yes, you do.
You know what, Wendy? You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take off my pajamas and put on some pants and maybe a T-shirt.
Pants are good.
That's as far as I'm going to go with this. And maybe some clean tennis shoes. That's about it. But as far as like dressing up, they told me.
You need a jacket.
No.
Yeah.
That's not that. That's what the great part about being at this cigar spot is, that I don't have to do all of that. It's a sports bar, and the bar looks lovely, so you need to come check it out tonight. It's 4990 Roswell Road. But That's enough about that. I finally did it, y'all. I finally broke down, and I bought a PS4.
You?
I got me a PlayStation 4. Yes, I got one for the Lolo.
You spent some
I got
money?
Hooked up. Yeah, I did. I got a hookup. I can't tell you about the hookup, but I had a friend of mine who got me the hookup, and they got me like a bundle. I got the PS4 with the 1 terabit of memory, and I got the virtual reality goggles. Mm-hmm. I got some virtual reality goggles. Where
are you kidding?
Yes, I don't know how to work them yet, though. I got to get my
have
son.
You, have you at least tried them on?
I did try them on, but they're adjustable because I was worried, a little windy. I was a little worried about that because I'm like, my head a little bit too big for this virtual reality thing.
You know you can't invite anybody over when you're wearing those, right?
No, because I can't see anything. I haven't worn them. I don't know what I have never worn them, so I don't know what they are, but they came with a game.
Okay,
they came with Gran Turismo, the racing game, and I don't know how to use them, so I had to you know call my son and ask him to come over when he finds time, because you know he's 15 now, he has his busy schedule, to help me, you know, for he can read the directions and stuff and plug this thing up into my Xbox. I mean, my PS4. But I've been playing the PS4, man. I really like it. And the one game that I got that I really, really like is God of War. And I know that a lot of people, shout out to all the people on Twitter that were telling me about the God of War game. It is all that in a bag of chips. Video games have evolved so much. I don't know if you played video games before, John, and I don't think you played. You're not a video game.
My daughter had a Wii. That was about the extent of it.
And I know Bo plays, but Bo likes the sports games. This God of War game is like a mini movie. It's like a movie with the cutscenes and everything, the graphics on it. It is bananas. So much so that I've been playing the game so much that I'm trying to figure out what happens next, because it's like a movie. It's like you got to go through these realms of like the Midgard, Heimdall, and all the other Norse god stuff, Thor and all them cats. You got to do all that, and you're doing it with your son, and his name is Atreus. And the cool thing about it, like I'm telling you, Wendy, you're looking at me like I'm nerdy, and I know I sound real nerdy right now. You're probably not the only one that's laughing at me.
This is funny.
But it's the truth.
With your son.
Yes.
Your virtual reality son.
Yes. And the evolution of the characters, like they've done a great job of putting this game together. Forget you, John. Forgot he over this.
No. I'm just
but
thinking,
no.
Has he asked you for college money yet?
No, but as you know, like in video games, when they have certain things, they're putting like a loop. The conversation is like in a loop. Like you know how say when you say if you're walking through a certain area, uh-huh. They tend to repeat the same thing over and over again. You know how to say, hey, you know, hey, look over there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, they don't do that. That's the fascinating thing about this game and why it makes it so cool is because it's almost like it's a dialogue for a real movie. It's not nothing's repeated. Like the only thing is repeated, like he said, hey, look over there or something like that. But they're telling stories about the evolution of the character and how Kratos is a god in the game, by the way, and his son,
okay.
Atreus, is his son that he doesn't know his dad's a god. So they're going to bury his mom's ashes on the highest peak in the realm. And so as they go, Atreus is learning how to hunt and fight with his dad and how the character evolved. Forget all of y'all
does
looking at me
birthdays?
Like I'm crazy.
Is this
you,
like a spoiler
birthdays?
Alert
do
or
give
something?
Him birthday
no,
parties
no, because
age
you
got the game.
I don't know.
Does
I haven't gotten that
older?
Far. But he's getting more skilled
does
and advanced
college?
In his fighting skills.
What
you are making
path?
Fun of me. You
no,
are
no.
making fun of
no,
me.
No, I'm not making fun of you. If
but his skills for fighting have greatly increased since I started playing.
Ever since
he killed that deer. He's just been a G ever since. He kills a deer in the video.
When you do a shooter game, do you do it sitting down or do you actually get up and kind of move around? And
You sit out. Most games you sit down. I know when me and my son used to play, he used to jump around like a little bunny rabbit, and he used to play. But no, you sit down. But if anybody's played God of War, they know exactly what I'm talking about. The character development as the game progresses is awesome. And the good part about it, the more you get into the game and the more realms you discover, the stronger you can level up your character, the stronger your character gets, and your son gets stronger too. This is the best game, the absolute best game that I've ever played. It's even better than, dare I say, Destiny. Like, I've been playing Destiny
Uh-oh.
For years.
No.
I'm still, you know, I still
Are
raid.
Are cheating on Destiny?
No, I still raid with my boy Invictus and everybody. I haven't been on the raid for a while because I've been trying to figure this movie out. But I'm still a diehard Destiny player, but this God of War is no joke. Yes, Daryl.
Is it better than Grand Theft Auto 5?
See, I'm not a Grand Theft Auto fan. When they started having like relations in Grand Theft Auto, that would be that's a little weird. Now that like I know I'm a nerd and I'm too old probably to be playing video games. It all depends on who you ask. When you start having like virtual relationships in video games, that's where I cross the line.
I have a question about video games.
That's just too much.
Does Second Life still exist?
What are you talking about?
Second Life, does it still exist?
What is that?
Maybe it doesn't. That was that big virtual thing where you had a Second Life online. Yeah, that was that. People were getting way into that.
That was on Atari?
I don't know what platform it was on.
Wendy took a shot. Was it ColecoVision?
I got it. No, it was Bally's Pinball. All right.
I've never heard of Second Life. I'll look it up. We're gonna look for the Google.
It was Pachinko. Come on, stop. Hey, the Falcons talking about the new helmet rule and how they're gonna deal with the new helmet rule. That's a busy time for all these teams to adjust. We have a quick interview to kind of lay that out for you. We'll do it next on the Morning Show with John and Hugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.